Good morning. I would invite you to clear your mind, to bring your worries and your concerns, place them at the foot of the cross, and leave them there. You don't need to pick them up for an hour. I invite you to prepare your hearts for worship. Open, soften, expect God to be speaking with us during this time of worshiping Him, and the Holy Spirit to be moving among us. In your bulletin, you will find the call to worship, and I invite you to read that with me. It's from Psalm 52, verses 8 and 9. Join me. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name, I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. If you'll pray with me, please. We come to you, O God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. We seek to magnify you and praise you as we ought. We want to see Jesus, in whom all of your fullness dwells. We invoke your presence with us. You are the giver of all we have and our hope for now and hereafter. May the memory of your goodness and love you lavish on us through Christ Jesus fill our hearts with true gratitude and joy as we worship today. Amen. In your yellow book, your hymns of praise, we'll be singing Love Lifted Me, number 65, and In the Garden, number 67. And if you're able, I invite you to stand.
Okay, so we'll do new lips.
Again, if you will turn with me to your bulletin, we will share together in the prayer of confession. Merciful God, we have not loved you with our whole heart, nor our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive what we have been, accept us as we are, and guide what we shall be. The words of assurance. Listen to God's words of compassion. I taught you to walk and lifted you like an infant to my cheek. How can I give you up? I am the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. If you'll turn in your hymnals, please, to number 343, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And if you're able, please stand.
Thank you.
Just before I offer the offering prayer, I would remind you that the plate is in the back for those of you who are here if you wish to give. If you are joining us virtually, you are welcome to continue sending in your offerings to the church. You can actually also give online as well if you feel comfortable doing that. It is safe and secure and very quick, as far as we've experienced so far, and you can find those instructions in the weekly email that comes through from the church. All right, if you will join me in prayer. Our God, our offerings proclaim that work and worship are one, that life is undivided. Use these gifts for your church's ministries of reconciliation, service, and mercy. Amen. Our second scripture this morning is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. If you'd like to read along, you're welcome to do so in the Pew Bible. You'll have to find it, because in the bulletin it says number 11, and maybe that's the page number. It is the beginning of the book, after all. I will be reading from the Tree of Life version, so it'll be a little bit different, but not too far off. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham at Mamre's large trees while he was sitting in the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes to see, suddenly, three men were standing right by him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. Then Abram said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass by your servant. Please let a little water be brought so you can wash your feet and make yourselves comfortable under the tree. And let me bring a bit of bread so that you can refresh yourselves, and then you can pass on, since you have passed by your servant." They said, "Do just as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, knead three measures of fine flour and prepare bread loaves." Then to the herd, Abraham ran and took a young ox, tender and good, and he gave it to the servant who prepared it quickly. Then he took butter and milk and the young ox that he had prepared and set it before them. While he was standing by them under the tree, they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" "There, in the tent," he said. Then he said, "I will most surely return to you in about a year's time. Surprisingly, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him.
Good morning. It's great to be with all of you here and at home. Welcome. Last week we talked about discipleship and how the author Dan White Jr. defines it as being how we follow Jesus into a place. In his book, Subterranean, White offers four place connectors, as we spoke about: the porch, the pathways, the pivots, and the parish. Let me pause here for a minute to tell you an interesting little tidbit. In the past few weeks, I had been feeling that it was time to focus on this topic of discipleship at length, kind of like a sermon series of sorts. Last week, I kicked off this unofficial series, and yet I wasn't exactly sure how it would unfold over the next few weeks. As some of you may know, we generally preach by the lectionary here. In other words, we join most of the Christian world in focusing on the same group of scriptures from week to week. I very rarely look ahead at these scriptures, because I want to make sure to give the Holy Spirit space to speak to me rather than me pushing my agenda. So, as I said, I had this leaning toward the topic of discipleship, but wasn't sure how it would evolve. Dan White Jr.'s writing spoke to me, the idea of the porch, the pathways, the pivot, and the parish. So this week, I'm reading Genesis 18, 1 through 10, in the lectionary, and one of my commentaries describes Abraham's experience this way. In the horrible heat of the day, just when Abraham had been dozing at the entrance to his tent, the equivalent of us sitting on our front porch at about 3 o'clock one August afternoon. Abraham sees these strangers approaching. I read and reread this commentary, looked up to God, and chuckled. The porch. Got it. So today we're going to talk about the porch. This passage is extraordinary. It describes a theophany, a human seeing God, like seeing God with your own eyeballs, like there's God. And it's on a hot summer day. Abraham is sitting on his porch. And just before this, he and God have made a covenant. God told Abram that he would be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. God changed Abram's name to Abraham and told him he would be fruitful, that he will populate the nations and have kings in his bloodline. It's a recreation story along the lines of Noah. Yet God's promise is perplexing to Abram because he and his wife Sarai don't have any children of their own, and Abram is 99 years old. The couple is just a little past their prime childbearing years. Just a little. Nevertheless, God promises, and Abram believes. And Abram knows God. He knows God really well. He's been praying to and talking with God for a long time. He trusts God. Enough that when God tells Abraham that he and all the men and his household have to be circumcised, he does it. Men, I ask you. No. I mean, think about it. These are not infants who get numbing gel. These are full-grown men. And Abraham is 99 years old, and he has to get circumcised. I'm surprised they didn't go yelling and screaming into the hills, "No! Get away from me!" But they don't. Then Abraham took every male among them, the men of his house, and he circumcised all of them and himself that day. Would you do it if God asked? Would you agree that sometimes we refuse to do much lesser things that God probably wants us to do? But not Abraham or his household. He and all the guys, they get circumcised. Mind you, he lives in a tent. He is not near a shiny, sterile hospital with anesthesia. This begs the question, why does God make this big ask? I mean, why circumcision? Well, this act had been a marriage rite in the ancient Near East long before God asked Abraham to do it. Abraham knew exactly what it meant. It meant he and all of his family were now married to God. This is why God changed their names. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. So just on the heels of this marriage to God, God's triune self, God in God's completeness, appeared to Abraham. Some might wonder how Abraham knew his three visitors were God. It's because Abraham knows God in a deep, marriagey, familial sort of way. Abraham covenants with God, and all of God shows up for him. The same way we know those we're in close relationship with, like spouses or siblings or children or dear old friends. We know them. Abraham knows God, and God knows Abraham. They love each other, wholly, fully, without restraint. This is a family reunion, right there on Abraham's porch. That's why he's excited. You know what it's like when family shows up. You bust out the food and you have a good time. We get it, right? Last week we asked the question, who is your neighbor? This week, I'd like us to ask the question, who is your family? On Friday, I was speaking to Susan, and while we were talking on the phone, the children of her neighbor stopped by and asked if they could swim in her pool. They hinted that their parents couldn't watch them, and Susan got the hint. Please watch us and keep us safe while we swim in your pool on this sweltering hot day. Yet Susan was happy to do it, like really happy. I could hear it in her voice. It was as if family had stopped by. Who is our family? Is it my daughters? My dad, my brothers, my uncles, my cousins? Is it all of you? Is it the person across the street who has those political signs in their yard? Is it the lady on Facebook who keeps making snarky, inflammatory comments? Is it the guy down the road who is on the sex offender registry? The answer is yes. As difficult as it is, we were all made good in God's image. There is not one of us who wasn't. This is the basis for our peace witness. We don't kill one another, and we try not to harm those who are made in God's image. All of them. We don't get to choose. And along the same lines of this larger definition of family, what here on earth is really ours? Is Susan's pool hers? Was Abraham's porch his? Is Joe's fancy car his? Is my money mine? No. It all belongs to God. All of it. All of creation and everything in it. It's all God's. We don't get to covet. Back to the porch. Last week we learned that the porch is essentially our home, that it symbolizes openness to sacred hospitality. Because when we are hosting others, we are hosting those who were made good in God's image. The porch is the place where we can see and hear and engage our neighbors, our human family. In this context and within the larger definition of family, let's consider Dan White's questions that we talked about last week with the porch. Are we open to using our home for hospitality with our neighbors? Are we open to sharing with our neighbors? Do we know our neighbors' names? And I'll add two more. Do we love our neighbors like family? And why? When Abraham was sitting on his porch and saw our triune God in front of him, he ran to meet God. He ran. And then he humbly begged God's selves to stay with him. My Lord, if I find favor with you, stay for a while. Drink some water. Wash your feet. Rest. Let me feed you. This all sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Jesus washes the feet of his disciples and then invites them to the table to have supper together. It's a mirror of this story with Abraham and God. It's a continuation of our covenant with God and with one another. It's how God is restoring creation. It's an unfolding of our relationship with one another. God approaches Abram, covenants with him. Abram becomes Abraham. Sarai becomes Sarah. They are brand new people. They laugh because they can't believe it, but their age makes no difference to God. God tells them, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" Abraham and Sarah demonstrate their love for God with their whole selves. not just their minds and their souls, but with their bodies. Abraham is circumcised. Sarah becomes pregnant and bears a son, Isaac, who gives rise to God's nation. This covenantal love with God, it is all-encompassing, takes all of us and all of ourselves. It is everything. When Abraham and Sarah serve God, they serve humanity too. When Jesus serves his disciples, he cares for us completely. When Susan invites her neighbor's children to swim in her pool, she invites the likeness of God to her home. When we love one another, no matter what, unconditionally, it's how we show our love for God. The porch, it is one of the most powerful, transformational places on earth. It's where God's kingdom grows. Amen. Let's stand and sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" in your hymn number 573. Seated. Let's pray. God, thank you for creating us good in your image. I mean, wow, when we really think about this, it is so much. It is so extravagant. Your love in making us, your covenant with us, it means that we all of us have unsurpassable worth. We pray that we can always be your face of love to our human family. Help us to align our wills to yours as we pray for the joys and concerns we heard earlier. And in this moment of silence, hear the prayers of your people. We pray also for our enemies to become friends, that the hungry and poor have plenty, that the oppressed be uplifted and justice be done, that all who are troubled have peace of mind, that wars and violence stop in your name, that our children and youth thrive, that the sick be healed, and that we have the courage to pray for complete healing, even for ailments we think are incurable because you are in us. Help us to be in your image of goodness and health. We pray that the outcomes of the MCUSA delegate session glorify you, that all of creation be restored, that leaders of the world be led by love, that those who serve this church are well supported, that this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets be protected and enveloped in your love. God, we love you so much. We pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for our sending. This week, remember how big our family really is. And know that when you invite someone to your porch to feed them and love them, you're showing God your love. Let's sing, He Leadeth Me, hymn number 599.